Moncrief on News Talk.
New research by the Sex Workers Alliance of Ireland has revealed that 3 out of 4 sex workers started because they were in financial difficulty. On top of this, migrant sex workers are facing major discrimination and marginalisation when it comes to housing. Linda Kavanagh is the Communications and Advocacy Manager for the Sex Workers Alliance Ireland, and she joins me now. Good afternoon.
Hi, how's it going?
Great. I would love to hear more about this research. What has it revealed?
So, I mean, I guess in certain ways, there's nothing very newsy in it. You know, there is a housing crisis, there is a cost of living crisis, migrants experience discrimination in the housing market. I suppose what this brings forward is the kind of the extra burdens that migrant sex workers and sex workers in general face around housing. So one major thing is proving your income. You know, that seems to be a big thing now, is having to have pay slips or, you know, say where you're working. Mm. And sex workers face so much stigma that they really rarely reveal to anyone, definitely not their landlord, that they're a sex worker.
Yeah.
So because there's kind of legal aspects to that, like the law is written very broadly in Ireland that someone cannot live on the earnings of a sex worker, of another person. And so that could include your landlord. Mm. So, you know, there's many reasons why people don't want their landlords to know that that they are a sex worker. So that, you know, on top of the already, you know, existence, you know, lack of housing and discrimination that migrants face, you know, it's really difficult. And like housing is obviously, and migration is a hot button topic in Ireland now. And so this, I thought it was really timely to kind of have this discussion now.
Yeah, 1 in 4 sex workers are facing homelessness. Like, that's a startling figure.
Yeah, it's really scary. And I think a lot of, you know, if he's talked to any frontline homeless, you know, organisations, they know that people are sex working, you know, and there'd be transactional sex that happens as well, you know, for a place to stay, that kind of thing, or for if people are in addiction. They, you know, they will exchange sex for drugs and stuff like that. So yeah, it's, you know, it's a real, you know, intersection of all these issues.
Mm-hmm. For with this research in particular, it was a chance for the voices of sex workers to be heard and lead mm-hmm. the conversation, which frequently doesn't happen. They're left out of the rooms. What fueled that decision to have the interviewer also be a sex worker?
Just exactly that. Like, sex workers get talked about a lot in Ireland and globally, but in Ireland, they're rarely spoken to about what their needs are. You know, people kind of project a lot of their needs on them without actually asking. And like, there's a lot of knowledge within the sex worker community. Sex workers are knowledge creators. So we made the decision, and it's, you know, unfortunately kind of a radical thing to have a sex worker at every level of this research. So the interviewer was a sex worker, and then the person who, you know, analysed the data and then wrote it up. And then also the questions were devised by sex workers as well. And I think it opens people up, you know, if someone's talking to a peer, someone like the interviewer that we had experienced homelessness and is a sex worker. So it really opens up those conversations. You don't have to, I mean, on a very basic level, you don't have to explain the law, or you don't have to explain stigma to somebody who already knows and experiences that. So it really opened it up and opened people up. They just had this familiarity with the issues at play.
On the topic of stigma, do you believe there is less stigma around sex work now, or is it much the same? Like, are we progressing at all, do you think?
It's really hard to know. I think unfortunately there's a bit of a generational thing. I think a lot of young people really understand that it exists. You know, they're very real about it. You know, that the cost of living is going to drive people, like people who are in college and stuff like that. I think as people get older, the generational thing, it's just, they're just not really dealing with the reality in Ireland. So I think, you know, unfortunately, I think the tide is kind of turning globally against sex workers. I mean, it's turning globally against a lot of people, unfortunately. Mm. You know, I think it's pretty agreed that the majority of sex workers in Ireland are migrants. So, there's a lot of anti-migrant sentiment, unfortunately, and at the moment, and so that can all get kind of caught up in it. Like, sex workers have been the targets of the far right as well, this kind of, when it all gets framed as trafficking and exploitation, I think that can actually really fuel this anti-sex worker rhetoric that happens. You know, it's not dealing with people's reality. And the reality is, like, there are structural issues at play. So the housing crisis is one, the cost of living. But even things like international students can't work for more than 20 hours a week. So in Dublin, could anyone live on a part-time salary, like, you know, and pay rent? You know, so that's a structural thing that leads people into sex work. And there's, again, you know, lack of rehab, lack of mental health services, all this kind of stuff. All these are real structural issues. And I think the conversation around sex work is always about kind of violence at the hands of clients and not about the violence, the structural violence that people face. Poverty is violence, you know, being homeless and being precarious, that's violence. We're not really talking about the full breadth of the experiences of sex workers. And there's a lot of things that the Irish government and Irish society could do to help sex work. But all they ever get offered is criminalisation of their income.
So what can we do? What should we be doing, do you think, to make it safer?
I mean, we call for the decriminalisation of sex work. And that's, you know, that comes through in the research as well. You know, taking it out of criminal law and putting it much more in kind of labour rights would be very helpful. So sex workers, you know, part of the law, brothel keeping is when two or more sex workers work together. So that means that sex workers can't work together for safety. They have to work alone to work legally. So that's something that we could do. We could allow sex workers to work together for safety, because you're talking about majority women in a cash business, and then they're forced to work alone. So that makes them a target. Like anyone that's walking around with a load of cash is a target. Yeah. Like, and so, you know, one sex worker we spoke to was talking about how when the Gardaí come to do so-called welfare checks, and putting them in very heavy quotation marks, five of them will turn up to her apartment, and it really alerts the neighbours or alerts people that there's a sex worker there. So someone who has a lot of cash and is a woman and is on her own. She's not being exploited. She's telling the Gardaí, you know, I'm an independent worker. And she feels that not only is the welfare check not checking on her welfare, it's actually endangered her welfare. So that's, you know, obviously, you know, addressing the housing crisis, you know, is a massive thing. You know, having, you know, this is a, like, having precarious housing, you know, creates vulnerability
for everyone.
Yeah. And it opens them up to exploitation. And, you know, we know and hear about, like, people getting charged crazy amounts of money for a bunk bed, you know, somewhere. Like, sex workers really face that as well, because if a landlord is renting to them and they know they're a sex worker, they can use the criminality against them or say, well, I'm the one breaking the law here. So now you have to pay me €1,000 a week. And that's not unheard of. Like, we hear about that a lot. So those are the kind of things, like, getting real about sex work, removing stigma, tackling stigma, allowing, you know, being real about people's, you know, their lives, and the fact that people are doing sex work. Like, stigma is not helping anyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's not allowing people to, you know, talk to their mental health professionals or their doctors. You know, they feel they can't disclose, and thereby those people can't, they're not getting a holistic view of that person.
Yeah.
So these are the two. I mean, there's other calls to action in this this research. And that was something as well we wanted. We didn't want to just be like sex workers as this, you know, subjects. They have, you know, rights and advocacy that they want to do themselves, and they're never really allowed to do that. So that they have, there's calls to action in this as well, you know, about what their needs are.
When you talk about those conversations with the government and ye kind of crying out for it to be decriminalised just generally, why do you think sex worker voices are excluded when these decisions are being made or talked about? Like, is there an element of control, do you think, or what is it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I will say first things first, because of the level of stigma and the criminalisation, it's very hard for people to openly, you know, talk about being a sex worker in public. That's really, really difficult. So it's very hard to get someone to, like, talk to a politician to say, yeah, well, I am a sex worker. Like, that's, you know, they don't want to be identified. So that's really difficult. There's this big, the dominant narrative that it's all gender-based violence and it's all exploitation. And that comes from the Gardaí as well. and some civil society bodies and stuff like that. And it's, you know, so it's, so I think there's, but I think there's also this framing of them all as victims. Mm. And that just takes away their agency, takes away any kind of recognition of their rights and their knowledge. You know, when you just put the label victim on someone and don't allow them to have, like, you know, be a 3D person, it's very easy to kind of, you know, talk over them and talk, you know, and say what's best for them. And I think that's a huge paternalistic thing around sex workers in Ireland. They're all victims, and thereby someone else knows best.
Mm, absolutely. Linda Kavanagh, Manager of Communications and Advocacy at the Sex Workers Alliance of Ireland. Thank you for joining us in studio today.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.